Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience by highlighting people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today's topic of discussion is about something that we do most every day. I'm not talking about what you might think I'm talking about here. I'm talking about something we do that we may not even realize we do it, but we do. And that is data consumption, which is just a fancy way of saying using data in some way, shape, or form to make decisions, solve problems, support our thinking and our opinions, or to convey a message. Data is all around us, and the pace at which we consume it is increasing. In 2010, the average person consumed about 1 gigabyte of data daily. With the increase in AI, social media, and smartphones, we now consume about 74 gig of data each day. Research shows that effective use of data significantly impacts business outcomes, leading to increased revenue, cost reductions, improved decision-making, and companies who leverage data effectively are more likely to be innovative. They're more likely to outperform their peers financially and adapt to market changes. Data literacy and the ability to interpret and visualize data are also increasingly crucial for individuals. And we're not just talking about adults. It's important for kids to know and understand how to use data effectively for many reasons, including but not limited to the ones that I stated a moment ago. There's actually a critical skill that we can teach young people so that they can interpret data and take action in a smart and meaningful way. So what is that skill and how do we teach it? Here to talk about this in more depth is my first guest today, Caitlin Henze from Storytelling with Data, whose mission is to drive change in the community through effective storytelling. Welcome, and thank you for joining me today, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me, Jill.
You are welcome. Why don't we start today by having you tell us more about Storytelling with Data?
Storytelling with Data was started by Cole Nussbaumer-Naflick in 2010. Cole is a data storyteller that spent some time in various different corporate companies and then made her way over to Google, kickstarting the Google People Analytics team. And through that process, she realized that a lot of adults do not know how to present data in a way that activates change, engages people, and inspires them to take some sort of action afterwards. So she set out on a mission to help adults learn how to create effective visuals, graphs, and communicate them using the power of story within their corporations, government, nonprofit organizations, in order to help inspire change in our communities. After growing a very successful business and writing 3 best-selling books for adults, she realized that this is a skill that we can teach kids at a much younger age. This critical skill of solving problems, making decisions with data, and being able to communicate that, data storytelling, is something that kids can get very excited about because of their curiosity, love to combine art, surveys, data collection. So that's what we are setting off to do now, inspiring the next generation of data storytellers that will hopefully go into corporations and companies in the future to inspire change within their communities.
Okay, so we talked about this skill that we can teach young people. So tell us what that skill is and how you teach it.
So this skill, or we like to call it a superpower of data storytelling, is the ability to see data, collect it, analyze it, visualize it in graphic form, and use that data to make decisions or spark some sort of action and change. The challenge is that in school, literacy, art, math, science are all taught separately. So we are setting off on a path to change this by combining all of those different subjects and teaching kids how to really enhance their data storytelling abilities.
Okay, so you talk about this storytelling with data as a superpower, right? Why do you say that?
It's a superpower because it's something that anyone can use. No matter what you want to be when you grow up, every single profession uses data. And we use data on a day-to-day basis, as you mentioned in your intro, to make decisions or better understand the world and people around us. So developing and honing this skill as a kid sparks that initial curiosity and allows children to begin to develop this superpower at a young age that can then grow and blossom as they transition into adulthood.
And then what are the reactions of the students and the adults that support them to the programs?
When we go into schools or organizations, libraries, bookstores, any population of children where we deliver our free programs, we find that kids get super excited about the data collection. The amount of cheers and applause that I hear from the audience of kids after we collect the data from student surveys and then show them the results, either in a bar chart or a pie chart, is astounding. The crowd goes wild. They're so excited to see which option wins and who got the most votes. So they become engaged in the program immediately, and then they're able to see, both from the book and reading the book and hearing the story and adventure of Daphne, all the way through the end of the graphing program, how they can collect and transform their data to continue the learning after we do the program.
Okay, so what you use is a tool called Daphne Draws Data. To teach the skill, tell us about that.
Daphne Draws Data is the book. It is the fourth book that Cole published, her first children's book. It was published in September of 2024. And since publication, we have reached over 8,000 children worldwide with our free programs.
Nice.
The programs entail a book reading and a live graphing activity that uses student survey data that we collect either on the spot or sometimes in advance based on the teachers and the adults' ability to help do that with the kids. In addition to the book and the online program, we have a graph glossary in the back of the book as well as online. In addition, there's free learning videos and graphing activities on the website where adults can help teach their kids this skill on a continuous basis.
Well, tell us where the idea for Daphne Draws Data originally came from.
When Cole started storytelling with data targeted towards adults, she began to deliver these presentations and workshops all over the world. The reaction from most adults is, why aren't we learning this sooner in school? This is a skill that we really need to be honing at a younger age. So that started her thought process on, I wonder what it would be like to teach this data storytelling skill to kids. After she started having a family and watching her kids grow up and seeing the homework and the ways that they were learning data in school, she set off on a mission to teach data and math in a more fun and engaging way to kids.
Okay. Well, I know that's needed. You know, not everybody learns the same way at the same pace, so that's helpful, I'm sure. And I'd really love to learn about some ideas you have for what we as adults can teach the kids in our lives about data in a fun and engaging way. We're actually going to take a quick break and talk about that after we return. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in this next segment with Caitlin Henze from Storytelling with Data. So, Caitlin, tell us how we adults can teach kids about data in a fun and engaging way. Like, what tips do you have?
Kids are naturally very curious, so the best way to teach them these graphing and data skills is by choosing a topic that interests them. So when I go into a school or a library or facilitate these programs with groups of kids, I always choose some sort of question that is relevant and meaningful to the kids. For example, sometimes we do questions around where is the best place on the playground to make new friends, or how do you select your next library book to check out, or what sort of activities or clubs do you want to see after school? That starts engaging the kids because they are invested in the outcome and the actual results of the data. So when they collect the data, they're super thrilled to see the results. And the most meaningful and impactful thing that can happen after that is that the school or organization can take action based on that data. So one of the schools that we facilitated a program with last year actually ended up starting the club that got the most votes after we did the Daphne program. So making it meaningful, making it relevant to them, and encouraging them to use items from their surroundings, whether it's chalk or markers or Legos, to start creating these graphs, helps them learn and engage using art, hands-on materials, as well as language and literacy skills. So they're combining all of these different aspects to really learn those critical thinking and problem-solving abilities.
Okay, I'm curious how young you start. I mean, are you starting in first grade, second, third grade?
Daphne Draws Data is targeted for kindergarten through fifth graders.
Okay.
There's, of course, a spectrum. So typically with the younger grades, we start more with reading the book and helping them learn through Daphne's adventures. And the book has a variety of different types of graphs pictured in it, as well as the graph glossary at the end. So kids can get engaged with the story. They love the colorful pictures and the dragons and all the animals and critters in the book. As the kids get older, closer to, you know, third grade, fourth grade, they can start to actually understand the analyzation of the data, and we can go into some more different complexities with the graphs. So online in our educator hub, we do have lesson plans and activities that can be done either in the classroom or at home to help learn each of the various different types of graphs. And they're broken down by grade level or age range. But depending on the abilities of your child, we have several. I've worked with the Wisconsin Association of Talented and Gifted Students. You can, of course, adjust and either scale up or scale down based on where they are in their learning journey.
Okay. And so perhaps people don't, for whatever reason, have access to the books. And I understand you have a book donation program. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. So at the beginning of this year in 2025, we committed to making the book, Daphne Draws Data, accessible for all kids. So since we began our book donation or book matching program, we have donated almost 3,000 books to children in a variety of different states across the country. Our book donations are targeted for Title I schools or underserved populations that might not have the financial means to purchase books. In fact, we're going to be traveling to some different states, Kansas, New York, later this year to do large book donation events for children and organizations that are hungry to learn and really want to develop these STEM skills in kids and don't have the financial means to purchase the books outright. So it's been really heartwarming to see the reaction from kids that get to bring a book home after we donate a book per child during the event.
And it sounds like you're expanding your reach beyond southeastern Wisconsin.
We are. Yes, we started in our own backyard. Both Cole and myself live in the local Milwaukee area. And we realized that there are so many more kids across the world that we can reach. And this is a very universal skill. So a few months ago, we started our Daphne's Data Detectives program that allows any passionate adults, like anyone who's listening here, to receive ready to implement resources and program materials and facilitate their own Daphne Draws Data program to a group of kids in their community. Depending on who the group of kids is, we'll coordinate either book donations or book purchases. It's a really fun way to help give back to your local community and also inspire the next generation of STEM professionals.
Okay, so talking about working with other schools, working with different individuals, let's camp for a little bit on that collaboration piece. How do you collaborate with partner organizations? And give us some examples.
We've built some awesome partnerships that have allowed us to expand our reach, like the Girl Scouts, City Year, Big Brothers Big Sisters, a variety of different school districts. And these partners have connections to local schools or groups of kids. So it's allowed us to access more kids faster than just me reaching out to a variety of people. So it's been really fulfilling to build these partnerships, see their support for Daphne Draws Data, and have them help advocate getting our program and books to more kids across the country.
Okay, so let's talk resources. So let's say somebody's listening, they're interested in either the Daphne Draws Data book or just some of your other programs. Share with us the resources that you have for adults who want to expand their data storytelling skills.
For adults who are interested in learning more about the power of data storytelling, I would encourage you to visit storytellingwithdata.com. There are a variety of free resources, including our podcast, blog, Storytelling with Data community, and different chart guides to help you enhance your skills in a very simple and effective way. We also have custom workshops for different clients, public workshops, and on-demand courses, all to help adults hone and develop their data storytelling skills. And again, this is something that's applicable for any organization, any industry, any type of professional. For adults that have little ones in their lives, I would encourage you to visit DaphneDrawsData.com. And there you will find a variety of online graphing activities, learning videos, and fun resources to help teach data storytelling to your children.
Okay. Do you have a particularly impactful or experience with a school or a child that really resonates with you?
One of my favorite experiences was after one of our book donation events with a local school here in Milwaukee. I had several kids come up to me afterwards and say, I've never been given a book before, or I'm going to read this book every single night. So the reaction from the kids after they see the event, hearing how much they love Daphne, hearing all of their ideas for how they're going to collect data from their friends and draw their own bar graphs is extremely heartwarming. It's also been really amazing to see photos and hear stories from teachers and educators after I come and do the program that are able to share with me how they've continued to use the resources that we have online and in the book to further the learning with the kids in the classroom.
Well, and you have a video that shows you actually in a school setting.
Yes.
Where will people find that?
It's on YouTube. I would also encourage you, if you want any more information, you can go on our website, DaphneDrawsData.com, or send an email to hellodaphne@storytellingwithdata.com.
Okay. And someone will reach out.
Yes, that's okay. Right. That would be me.
Okay. That's Caitlin Hinsey. You're going to be talking with her directly if you reach out. So you are the local representative then that goes into the schools and teaches.
I am the education and outreach specialist at Storytelling with Data. So yes, I run and coordinate everything related to Daphne and the elementary education side of our business.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you for being here, Caitlin Hinsey from Storytelling with Data, and sharing all this great information on how we can inspire our kids to use data effectively.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. What if the data being used to make multi-million dollar decisions about your neighborhood, from school funding to public health to housing, never included your voice or your experience or your reality? What if the story being told about your community was being written without your community? Stay tuned, because we're going to talk more about this after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Dr. Victor Amaya, President and Executive Director of Data You Can Use, whose mission is to advance community access to data and the skills needed to make informed decisions that lead to meaningful change. In a nutshell, you connect people who have data with people who need data. Welcome to the show today, Victor.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be here, Jill, in the Ellen Becker Investment Group offices. So I appreciate the hospitality.
You're certainly welcome. You are welcome. So you have quite a background and a commitment to education and leadership and the advancement of it. And I think that that commitment is actually key to the question that I asked before the break. What if the story being told about your community was being written without your community? How would you answer that?
You know, at Data You Can Use, we believe that there's no data without stories and no stories without data. You know, behind a number, there's a family, there's an individual, there's a young person. And it is important to be able to understand that behind those numbers, there's that specific story, not just a spreadsheet. Numbers are power. Data is power. And, you know, historically, the knowledge of how to use data to make decisions usually lived in the hands of decision makers, large institutions. So that's why Data You Can Use was created. We believe in the democratization of data, which means basically how do we provide people with the tools and the data necessary so they can actually co-create some solutions in the community. They're being impacted in different ways. I do believe personally that the solution to today's problems live in the community. And much of my work is to provide people with a voice, and that data is powerful. It is that voice that we need to make sure we're able to elevate the experiences. Many times, you know, when I work with individuals in data, they usually say like, oh, I'm not good at numbers. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at data. And then you start asking questions and you realize, you know, and you provide them with some context, specifically, let's just say in a neighborhood level, some residents have lived there all their life, right? And then you start like really highlighting their lived experience and the knowledge they have. So when I get to talk to community members, I usually say, you are the expert. I am here to facilitate a conversation, to facilitate, you know, some knowledge, but I, you know, that really they are the experts in the community. So a lot of the work that we do is facilitating change, making sure that we are, you know, building trust with communities. Historically, research and data has not been, you know, has not done the best thing for communities, all right? So for us, building trust and building relationships and working side by side with community members, whether it's a resident, whether it's a decision maker, a nonprofit, you know, we want to make sure that that relationship is key. And building partnerships, that's how we expand our reach. We are a small team. And the way we expand our reach is by making those partnerships.
Okay, well, tell us how you define data in the context of community work, and why does it matter so much?
Yeah, you know, many people, when they hear about data you can use, I often say, like, this is data that you can put into action, not data you can put in a shelf, not data that you can actually like make look pretty and put a dashboard. We got to make it actionable. So many times, you know, in order to really work with community members, it's about, you know, building some data literacy, but also having data conversations, right? Data discussions. You provide people with the right tools that would take things to another level. Right. So many times the work that we do is like, you know, it's really providing people with the right context and asking the right questions. That's what research is. ultimately, research is asking questions and being able to answer those. So, you know, using people's lived experience and just knowledge. And we know that communities want to see their surroundings be better. We ask those questions, we provide the data, and then we co-create solutions. That, to me, is transformational when you co-create. You're not, it's almost like redefining what community research means by starting with communities first.
Okay, I like that. Well, how do you balance between being a technical data organization and a community-centered one?
You know, we're often told or seen as a tech organization. I often say we use tech, you know, like we use it really well, actually, right? We automate a lot of things. You know, we have a large amount of data, so we do have to use technology, but we're more of a community organization, an engagement organization. So we work, you know, with all ages. You know, we work with young people. We do like data workshops over the summer for high school students. And we also work directly with residents. You know, many times, you know, it's building that capacity with them. So sometimes we co-create a survey that can be used in a neighborhood, right, to really understand the needs of that specific neighborhood. And in doing so, then it's like the ownership. People start owning their data, and then, you know, they start thinking of solutions and testing some solutions. And then, you know, that's how change happens.
So what do most people misunderstand then about data when it comes to this social change or equity?
I would say that, you know, if you're using data in a silo, right, if you're behind a computer and just thinking of solutions, I think that's the biggest misconception. I think there's power in a collective. There is power in diversity of thoughts, in the diversity of experiences. So when you bring people together to co-create and have, you know, think of solutions that can really impact the community, I think that's the biggest misconception, right? Sometimes we think we have the answer. Really, like, it is about facilitating that answer through a collective.
And is that why you think it's important that communities and not just institutions have access to and control over data?
100%. You know, yeah. I think, you know, you empower communities to be able to elevate their voices. And sometimes, and many times, when it's rooted on evidence, right, like people tend to listen more, right? There is a narrative, like, you know, you have your qualitative data, you have your qualitative data. And that's why the stories are so important, because people are experiencing this. But when you keep, you know, you combine that with the numbers, then they go, oh, that makes so much sense. I knew that was right. Right. And then things start, you know, then start taking ownership of, you know, that specific data, and then they create some solutions.
And what are the risks of data being used without community input?
I think there's a huge risk. And, you know, when you think about programs, investment, measuring success, most people that invest, they want to see a return of investment, right? And sometimes it's a social return of investment. Many times, you know, when I work with foundations or individuals that are invested in the community, the question they have is like, are we making an impact?
Mm-hmm.
And I usually
That's
say,
a big question.
It is a huge, it's a
yes.
huge question, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we know that? Well, we need to talk to people, right? We need to like bring people together to be, you know, really understand if that's, you know, if the impact is being a positive one.
Yeah, we talk about POP or proof of performance,
yep.
And some people use analytics, metric data. Some people tell stories of impact, and we find that the stories of impact are far more engaging, but also they just are able to, the audience is able to understand it better.
Exactly.
You know, if you can combine the two together, that's kind of that sweet spot.
Exactly.
Give us an example of a time when having the right data changed the trajectory for a neighborhood or a nonprofit or a resident group.
Yeah, you know, one of the best stories that I have is actually in the mining neighborhood. We were doing some work directly with residents and a nonprofit that served that specific community. And what they wanted to know is, like, how do we better our neighborhood? So we co-created in a survey that was, you know, provided feedback by the residents, make sure the language was, you know, the common language that people used, that they saw themselves in those questions, right? So it was a co-creation. And then we prepared residents to go out and collect that data. They brought it back to us. And what we found out is that, you know, residents really cared about slow and reckless driving, right? So I was like, oh, that's great. Okay, so what did we do next? The next question that they asked was like, well, where's the reckless driving happening? So then we mapped that data and we identified four corners in that specific neighborhood where most crashes were happening. And they said, well, what can we do? And then what they did is they created a slowdown initiative. So they talked to, you know, other neighbors. They put a door handle data. I forgot what it's called, but it's like a little door handle thing with data points to create awareness, because the first step to change is always clarity and awareness,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then they put signs in those specific corners that says slow down. And then they talk to people around it. And believe it or not, that specific year, Amani neighborhood lowered reckless driving at a faster rate than the city of Milwaukee. Mm. And that was all led by residents. As a external, I don't live in that neighborhood. As an external, I could have had like a misconception about like what they cared about.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But when you co-create and when you ask the questions and when, you know, you provide them with the tools and opportunities, things emerge, right? And the solutions, they created the solution.
Mm, yeah, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that Data You Can Use has helped Milwaukee neighborhoods secure millions in grants and resources by co-producing data that reflects their priorities and their lived experiences. So stay tuned, because after a short commercial break, Victor will share with us what their partnership with community groups actually looks like in practice and how, if it's applicable, they can result in securing grants. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. I'm talking in our last segment with Victor Amaya, President and Executive Director of Data You Can Use. So, Victor, you shared that Data You Can Use has helped Milwaukee neighborhoods secure millions in grants and resources by co-producing data that reflects their priorities and their lived experiences. So help us understand what your partnership with community groups actually looks like in practice and how, if it's applicable, they can result in securing grants.
Yeah, you know, Data You Can Use works across the different social determinants of health. And one of the projects that we have is in the housing area with the Community Development Alliance. Most recently, the city cut their budget by, I believe, $2 million. And it was allocated for affordable housing in Milwaukee, so creating pathways for that. With the Community Development Alliance, we are collecting data of like who is buying homes through those programs and who still has to buy homes through those programs. And we're able to map that and look at that by aldermanic district, by neighborhood, and, you know, different boundaries. When the budget was cut, we provided a map. And basically, residents went to the Common Council and said, hey, we have still 300 people that want to buy homes and they're unable to do this. This is why the budget should come back, or the budget lines should come back. It should be increased. Notice that Data You Can Use did not go in front of the Common Council. It was residents. And that's how we empower them. We provide them with the tools. That budget came back. That was added back to the city's budget. And now it's helping families have a pathway to ownership and hopefully generational wealth.
Nice. What about giving us an example of groups you've worked with that resulted in securing grants?
You know, we work with a lot of, we do evaluation work where we're evaluating programs to see if the, you know, most of those programs are pilots and see if they're working. And if they work, how do we scale them? And through our evaluation practices, we're able to provide, you know, organizations with a tangible next step recommendations and the efficacy of their program. They use that then for grant making and to tell the story about, you know, the the impact of the program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in with a lot of nonprofits, obviously, work with the sponsorships here at Ellen Becker. And it's really important to be able to tell that story effectively and to be able to use data to tell that story.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you're a nonprofit, understand that that's really, really important when you're trying to secure grants. Walk us through a project that you were involved in that you were especially proud of.
You know, as a former educator, one of the proudest projects that I had was recently, it was looking at Black youth and Latino youth and their achievement. In other words, look at the bright spots of data of Black youth and Latino youth in Milwaukee, ages 8 to 24. There's a narrative on our youth, and we wanted to see, like, hey, is there, like, really bright spots in where kids are excelling and nobody's talking about it? And we found those bright spots, and we were able to have those conversations. That became two reports. We just recently had an event to have the release of these reports. And now Milwaukee Public Schools, METC, MSOE, they're using these specific reports to tailor their programs with, you know, today's youth interest in how to elevate, you know, and revamp some of their programs so that they can actually keep their young people in school.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, I can see that you're especially proud of that. That makes total sense. How about helping us to understand how you can make data feel less intimidating and more actionable for everyday people?
You know, much of that is like working side by side with people and actually, you know, letting them know that they use data every single day, right? Like on their phone, the weather app, when they look at scores, you know, with sports, how many points somebody made. As you're talking about that, you know, people start thinking, like, oh, actually, I do know data, right? I do know data. I do use it all the time. And like, you know, there's that opportunity, that little opening where, like, you're able to just hook them in this, you know, data starts becoming attractive. It starts becoming like something that they want to go into. Most recently, I got a call for one of the workshops, youth workshops that we did over the summer 3 years ago. And now one of the young people, they're in Marquette University now. They're doing, into statistics, and they want to come and intern with us. And they said that specific experience is what led him to go into that field. And now they're going to come and intern with us and do some statistical work.
Very nice. There's also this life expectancy gap in Milwaukee. Explain in terms of how we can make it more actionable for everyday people. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's a project that with a DEER accelerator is the Milwaukee Bucks and Frederick Hospital. And it's a 10-year project, and it's an investment in four neighborhoods. And we partner with them to be able to measure over time if we're able to close the life expectancy gap, which is currently a 12-year gap between the most affluent zip code and the least affluent zip code. And through investments in those neighborhoods, whether it's in housing, whether it's in education, whether it is in food security or workforce development, over time, we want to be able to track to see if those investments are truly going to close that life expectancy. And if it does, then scale those programs in more neighborhoods and hopefully across Milwaukee over time.
Well, that's an actionable item for sure that everyday people can participate in. Yeah. Well, I'm curious for you to share a story that that keeps you going when the work that you do gets hard. We know that the work that you do can't always be easy, and I think it can be inspirational for people to hear that life does get hard, but that you have ways that you overcome those hardships.
I gotta say that young people have that truly inspire me. One of the areas that came out from the youth project that I just spoke about was the resiliency of young people, right? And that to me is very inspirational. And if I could remove obstacles for the next generation, for communities, and, you know, for them to be able to access essential needs and hopefully have a pathway to economic mobility, that to me is very inspirational.
Okay, very good. Well, if somebody is listening and they run a nonprofit or maybe they live in a Milwaukee neighborhood that they want to see some change, or they just want to learn more about who you are and more about what you do, how can they connect and help support your mission?
Yeah, so our website is www.datayoucanuse.org. There you can sign up for a newsletter. We do a monthly newsletter when we advertise our events. We do quarterly events, and then we have a final event at the last quarter, which is our Data Day. Data Day is a full day of programming where we bring all sectors together, including students, including young people, including residents, to like really highlight how people are using data to make their communities better. So it's really an elevation of data users. They can also go to our social media, which is Data You Can Use, also across Instagram, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn.
Okay. They can also sign up for your newsletter, I understand?
Correct. And, okay. And they can also email us at connectwithus@datayoucanuse.org, and we'll answer any questions.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to thank my guests today, Victor Amaya from Data You Can Use and Caitlin Henze from Storytelling with Data. It's a topic I thought was very interesting and informative, especially since I personally use data a lot in both preparation and sharing of information and stories for the interviews that we do. I appreciate you both sharing how data and the proper understanding and use of it can greatly affect outcomes, results, and decision making. So thank you for participating in our interview today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Storytelling with Data or Data You Can Use. If you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest on our show, feel free to email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about the great work nonprofits are doing in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the various ways that these great organizations are contributing to making our community a great place. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. You can also listen on demand at your favorite streaming platform. If you'd like to make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating, I encourage you to find an organization that aligns with your personal interests. Maybe you have a particular interest in data and the understanding and or appropriate use of it, as discussed with our guest today. Or maybe it's in a completely different area. But once you find that organization that you can be passionate about being a part of, then plug in and make a difference in whatever way makes sense for you. Determine how best you can be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.